So we're going to jump right into our Mission Friends series today with the theme, good local missionaries prepare for their mission and they practice their mission. So it all starts off with the mission that Jesus passed on to his followers, to his disciples. And we read it in Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So he's talking to his apostles, to his disciples. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we remember that we are all missionaries. Every one of us, everyone who has faith in Jesus is a missionary for Jesus. And our mission is where? To the ends of the earth, right? And right here where we are. So we are called for the mission. If you've been here a few weeks, you're getting this idea that we're all missionaries. We have a mission. If you're new with us today, then this might be new stuff that you hear, but as followers of Jesus, we are all missionaries. It's amazing. And each of us is on mission for Jesus. It's actually Jesus' mission that he passed on to us. So we want this series to help us remain focused on our vision for everyone to be a good local missionary. I came across an article that talked about War Road, Minnesota, and it's fitting for the time of the Olympics. War Road's, I think it's by Warren, isn't it? Just 6 miles north of the Canadian, or south of the Canadian border. And they produce Olympic hockey stars. So the town has as many indoor hockey rinks as red lights. And according to the New York Times, the town has sent 7 hockey players to the Olympics since 1956. 4 of them from the same family, the Christians. And each one has returned with a medal. In fact, the American men's Olympic hockey team has never won a hockey gold without a player from War Road. That's pretty amazing. And yet War Road has a population just a little more than us, about 1,700 people. And so the town is kind of hockey crazy, but they want everyone to enjoy the game. It's a wonderful, inclusive way that the town leaders say they want average players to be good and good ones to be great. So it's a great example of what can happen when small things and small places stay focused on their compelling mission and this compelling vision. You know, we don't produce hockey players here at Bethlehem Covenant Church. I don't know. Anybody hockey player? But we do make missionaries, don't we? We do make followers of Jesus. And like the town who has whose leaders have this hope for hockey, we hope to make average local missionaries good and good local missionaries great. So the Apostle Peter, he had this attitude in mind when he was writing. In 1 Peter, he writes, if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do it in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Be prepared, Peter says. Get ready. And that's where we're starting today. Good local missionaries prepare for their mission. How many of you know when or where you'll have the next opportunity to have a conversation about Jesus? Anybody? Not really, right? We're not quite sure. It could happen when we walk out the door. We could go all day and not meet someone and talk about Jesus, but then maybe out of the blue somebody will give us a call. We just don't know. So if someone approached you after church at the Blazer Express when you're grabbing a cup of coffee or getting a sandwich, and they asked you, what you been doing this morning? And you said, well, I was at church. And they said, well, you're at church. What were you doing at church? Why do you go to church? Would you have an answer or would you go, what would your answer be? Do you have a compelling reason why you spent your morning at church? So the apostle says, be ready before you go. Be ready at every opportunity. Jody Moore, she's a liaison to the Town and Country Commission and the Evangelical Covenant Church, and she's done some of this work on being a good local missionary, and I borrowed a little of her material here. But she points out that this mission Jesus has given us requires us to be ready at any time. So we get our example from Jesus himself in John chapter 4. There's this story about Jesus who is out on mission all day. They're traveling. He's tired. He stops by a well, and then he sends his disciples off to the grocery store to get some groceries, off to town to score some groceries. And so while he's there, he begins this conversation with a broken woman who's at the well. And through this conversation and what it leads to, a whole town comes to faith, comes to believe in Jesus. It's quite amazing. And then the disciples return, and they've only got groceries. You know, why is it that Jesus brought a whole town to faith and the disciples only brought groceries home? Well, the difference is that Jesus, even though he was tired, he had his eyes wide open and he was ready to tell people about the hope that could be found in him. So this small shift in our readiness could mean the difference between going on a grocery run or a whole town coming to faith, becoming followers of Jesus. When Cheryl and I were in Alaska, we went skiing at Alyeska. And the day we went, it was snowing, and it was really overcast, a very dark day. And because it was snowing, we needed some goggles. So Elizabeth, our daughter, she had a friend who had some extra goggles, and I got this pair that was really bright. It just made everything like, boom, like the sun was shining, like it was a beautiful, bright day. And so I put these on, and after I wore them all day long, I took them off at the end of the day, and I realized, wow, it's getting dark out here. And hey, wow, this is a dark, overcast day. You know, sometimes we need to, as local missionaries, change our goggles. We need to change our perspective of what we are seeing all around us. So what does it mean for a whole town to be good local missionaries? What would that look like? You know, it's not about having a Christian appearance, but it's about having a real life-changing experience as a follower of Jesus. What would that look like? You know, War Road has a whole town who believes in hockey and sends people to the Olympics. What would it look like for us to have a whole town who are good and great missionaries, local missionaries for Jesus? What would it look like? New hope all around us, right? It might look like new life happening every day and seeing it. More acts of compassion, more acts of unselfish love. It could mean addictions and bondages broken all around. It could be marriages healed and families restored. It could be friendships and relationships mended and healed. It could be people belonging, not alone, not segregated, not alienated. You know, we all need to continue to do a good job at welcoming. It could be mean people respecting each other and being forgiven and forgiving and fulfilling our God-given potential as individuals and who God created us to be. It would be wisdom and maybe even healings physically, because God is at work all around. And a mission movement that actually doesn't just affect our community, but extends out to the region and even into the whole world. Who knows what can happen? But that's the goal. That's really the outcome. That's really the vision that Jesus has for his disciples and for us as a church. And I believe that's what we're called to, a big, bold vision for God. And it's for all of us. Whether you're an introvert and you don't like to talk to people that much, or whether you're an extrovert and you talk too much, this is a mission for every one of us. So how do we prepare to be those good local missionaries? How do we get equipped in big ways maybe that we haven't actually thought about? Well, let me ask you this. What are you good at right now? What do you love to do right now? Where is your passion in your life right now? Are you good at basketball? I'm not, but maybe you are. Basketball, that could be a great passion. Video games, you like video games? Are you good at them? Do you like to play and engage in video games? Coffee and conversation, you like to drink good coffee or bad coffee and talk? Building things, maybe you're a builder, maybe you like to put things together. Maybe you love fishing and ice fishing and being out on the ice and being with people in that way, or being quiet out on the Maybe it's studying the Bible. Some of you are really good at studying the Bible and you have a passion for that. Maybe your passion is bowling. Maybe it's quilting and sewing and that kind of thing and doing it with other people. Maybe it's art and drawing. Maybe you're just good at making beautiful pictures. Maybe it's music. Maybe you love to play music. Maybe you love to sing. Maybe you love to listen to music. Maybe it's weightlifting. What are you good at? What do you love to do? You see, good local missionaries do what they love to do, and they do it for the glory of God. So part of preparing is our leveraging what we already love, what we already are good at, what we already are passionate about for the glory of God, for the mission of Jesus. You know, Jesus, he wasn't afraid to invite fishermen into his mission. He just showed them how to change their fishing focus from, you know, what their nets would catch to what the gospel would catch. And we read that in Matthew chapter 4. It says, as Jesus was walking along the sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting their nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. You know, I don't know if they were fulfilled fishermen. I don't know if they really loved fishing or if this was just the job they had to do. You know, they got up in the morning, punched the clock, got in the boat, went fishing, came out, punched the clock, went home. I don't know, but this is what they did, and this was their life's calling. Jesus said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they dropped their nets and followed him. So these were career fishermen, right? They're not evangelists. They're not career missionaries. But Jesus transforms their lives and he transforms their work to become part of the mission. To Jesus, they remained intact in their calling as fishermen. That didn't change. He just changed what they were fishing for. Something that was infinitely more meaningful. A mission with a net full of people. So is Jesus calling you to a transformation in your work, in your passion, in your play, that would allow it to take what you really love and make it something that engages others for Jesus? You know, Cheryl and I have always enjoyed gardening. We've always growing things and had good gardens when we could. And since we've been in Wheaton, it's kind of waned a little in the last few years. Certainly we don't do nearly as much of that. But we love garden. Could that be a missional passion? So how do we prepare to use our passions to bring people to Jesus? Well, one of the things that we want to think about and focus on is doing those kinds of things with non-Christians. Non-church people, people who don't already have a relationship with Jesus. So why do we do that? Well, it's so that we can build relationships, so that we can be around people that we have the opportunity to share the good news with. So are we doing that? What do we love to do? Are we doing that with people who don't yet know Jesus, or are we just doing it with other believers who already know Jesus? You know, there is a new community garden that kind of started over a couple years ago by the courthouse. And I've kind of had this thought in my mind that, you know, it's STARS program and a couple other things. And maybe that's something that I could get involved in and do the thing that I love to do, gardening, around people that I don't always hang out with and build some new relationships and see where God would take that. Well, you know, it makes much more sense than building a garden in the churchyard and having it a bunch of church people garden together. That's good too, good food, but it's not necessarily completing our mission. Maybe you love to smoke meat. I love to eat meat. I'm sure there's other people who like to eat meat too, and you could smoke meat and eat meat with them. Maybe you love to hunt or, again, fish, all the things that we can do to leverage for the kingdom of God. Anything, really. Anything we have a passion about, short of sin, we can leverage it. It can be leveraged for the gospel. So here's what we don't want to do if we want to be good local missionaries, and that's just do it all with people who already know Jesus. So what do you love to do? What are you good at? Do it for God's pleasure. Do it in a way that helps you connect with unbelievers. But there's more than just doing what you and I love to do. It's also bringing others where you like to be. And I hope that's here. I love to be here. I hope that you share that. I love being together as the body of Christ. Sometimes it's a little overwhelming, but you know, it's pretty awesome. I hope you feel that way too. I think we work hard here at Bethlehem Church to create a climate where our church is a place where lost people can find their way back to God. It's, you know, where people are welcome. They're able to be enjoyed by others. And we want to be a church that goes the extra mile in inviting and creating a hospitable, creating an environment where people feel welcome and where they feel like they can belong and where they feel like they can begin to grow. We want people to feel like they belong here at Bethlehem Church. You know, basketball hoops in the fellowship hall, a little strange, but it means welcome to young people. You know, treats in the window means come and grab a cup of coffee and something to eat and sit a while and let's talk and I'll listen and hear you. Couch in the corner means you can get comfortable here. You belong. You can come in and stay a while. You know, we're a place where we hope that people far from God can come and take one step closer to Jesus and to be with him. But it's not easy, but it's our mission. And I know that you and I, you all here are passionate about these kinds of things as well. You know, Wednesday night Lent services, these are a great opportunity, I believe, to bring somebody new to church. It's different. It's not the same kind of worship service. It's a great meal and sitting together and then coming and we're going to be able to listen to some of you share your stories about prayer and struggles and how that works and then go off to different ministries. You know, every Wednesday night we have new kids here and they're coming into worship. So why not new adults too, right? New students too. It's a great opportunity. We're already doing most of these things that we need to do to be prepared. And the one thing that we just want to keep doing is keep doing them and keep doing them a little more consistently in our life. The Apostle Paul, he's speaking in the Bible to his prodigy Timothy. He gives them this responsibility. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. It says, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions. You know, this is one of his last letters. Paul knows he's going to be dying soon. And so he wants to send this encouragement to the young Timothy to be ready for every opportunity and every situation. Be ready when you're expecting to be a missionary, and be ready when you're not expecting to be a missionary. Some of you know Kevin O'Leary. He's been around town for a really long time. He's a person who reminds me of someone who's always ready. He's an EMT on the ambulance. He works with Cheryl, and he works for Kibble Equipment. And Kevin drives this old Blazer. Maybe you've seen it around town, and oftentimes it's pulling a trailer. It's loaded up with stuff. Cheryl tells me that Kevin is always prepared for any need that arises at the ambulance garage. So if they're working on a cot or working on the ambulance, Kevin can run out to the truck and get whatever tools needed and bring it back in, and it works. You know, Kevin, if he comes up on an emergency, he has an EMT bag in his Blazer. So if you're ever in trouble, you'll be glad to see Kevin in the Blazer pull up beside you. You know, you and I, we want to be like Kevin O'Leary as good local missionaries. We want to be prepared for every opportunity. The second idea for being a good local missionary goes along with preparation, and that is practice. We want to practice being good local missionaries. If you've been following the Olympics, there's a skier called Michaela Schifrin. She received a gold medal for winning the giant slalom. Is that right? That's what I understand. Okay, you've been watching her. She said in an interview after her race, she said, the conditions are great, the weather's beautiful, and it's a pleasure to be skiing today. Don't you love that? She just loves what she's doing. And then she goes on, but I also feel like I can do a little bit harder. And you know, the nice thing about the Olympics is you don't hold back. I'm excited to see what I can do. You know, that's the attitude of a great athlete, isn't it? That's the attitude of an Olympian champion. She loves what she's doing. It gives her pleasure, and she's not holding back. She's given it her all. She's excited to see what she can do. I think it's amazing. But, you know, that's the attitude that we want to have as good local missionaries. But how do we get there? How do we have those same right attitudes, those same high expectations for the opportunities that we're going to face when we leave church today? Well, Olympic athletes don't win gold medals without a lot of hard practice, right? A lot of skiing, sometimes tumbles, a lot goes on. So being a good local missionary requires some hard practice too. And here's the good news, that you and I can learn to do this. We don't actually have to be good skiers. We don't even have to be good local missionaries, but we can learn the kinds of things that we want to do. So we can be prepared in and out of season. So we remember that being a disciple maker is really not an option. It's something that Jesus has called every one of us to. We're all missionaries. And so we have a very clear mission with a very clear promise. And the mission is simple. You've maybe heard this before. Jesus said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That's the mission, right? That's the call. And then the promise is this. "And remember, I am with you always. Surely I'm with you to the very end of the age." That's an amazing promise, isn't it? That we go out on mission, where we're out talking to people, wherever we are, we're not alone. The Lord is with us. He commands us to go, and the amazing thing is he's going to empower us to go. So he doesn't tell us to do something without equipping us to do it. I think too often we think, it's on my own, that I got to do this. But you know what? It's simply trusting God to do it through us. So Jesus calls, "Come follow me, and I will send you to fish for people," and the disciples practice. At once they left their nets and followed him. So the first part of practicing is actually following, right? It's following Jesus. You got to have a model, and Jesus is our greatest model, but we can model to one another as well. And then the second part is pay attention. You know, Jesus modeled at the woman at the well what it meant to talk to people and to tell them about the good news. And then he sends them out to practice fishing. So that's the third part, is practicing. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So it's tell the word and do the deed. Here they're healing the sick and all kinds of things, driving out demons. I'm not sure if God's called you to do that. That'd be pretty crazy. But he calls us certainly to love and to demonstrate compassion and kindness as we go out. So we tell and do. We tell and do. And we practice and we return and we talk about it and we get better and we go and we tell and we do as we continue to follow Jesus. The results are astounding for these guys as they actually practice their mission. So they set out, went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. And then Jesus brings them all back again. He tells them a lot more. They learn a lot more about Jesus while they're on the mission. They learn a lot more about the mission while they're following him. And then he sends them out again. This time, the Lord appointed 72 and sent them two by two ahead of him. I think that's pretty good advice as well. You know, that when we're going out, we go two by two because we're encouraging and supporting and helping each other. And then he tells them to go into every town and place where he's going, and he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And then Jesus gives some more instruction, and they come back. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even demons submit to us in your name." I think some of us here today, and, you know, we may wonder, is this really worth all of the effort that it takes? I mean, we're talking about practice and learning and work and practice and learning and work. And if you're in a sport or you do homework or you're working on an exercise program or something like that, we know that practice is a lot of work. Is this really worth it? I mean, This is our lives we're talking about and our time. We listen to Jesus' comment. You know, he says this off to the side for his disciples. He pulls them in. And he says, I got to tell you guys something. I want you to hear this. So listen up. Pay attention. He says, this is for you. This is for your ears, or your ears only. Right now, what I'm going to tell you, you need to know this. It's worth it. He turned to his disciples. He says, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. He's telling them that this is something big. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it. They wanted to hear what you're hearing, but they did not hear it. You know, this is the divine revelation of God. This is God's work unfolding from the beginning of creation. This is this amazing time and this amazing experience that God is inviting us into, us, right now, right here. And we're privileged. We're the few who get to hear it, the few who get to see what we're seeing. So we get to be part of this incredible movement of God as local missionaries. So if you're on board, then good missionaries practice doing what needs to be done. You know, the message of the mission is a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus. So what does that look like? What's the image? Well, Jesus says it like this to a religious person. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it looks like. And the religious person told Jesus, Jesus said, do this and you will live. And in this passage, we hear this exchange. The religious person, he wants to justify himself, the scripture says. And so I looked up, what does that mean? He wants to justify himself. It means that he wants to limit the definition of who my neighbor is just enough so that he can do just that and be right by loving his neighbor. That means he only has to love those who are, by this narrow definition, his neighbor. But Jesus tells this parable that Rick read, and it kind of blows his idea out of the water. Who is my neighbor? He describes two religious persons. They skip by this guy laying on the side of the road, and then he describes a Samaritan who's kind of despised by the Jewish people, and he goes and shows extravagant love and compassion to this person laying on the side of the road, and the expert in the law discovers that his mission is the same as that of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is telling us that to be good local missionaries, we don't get to choose who we're going to love. We don't get to choose who we're going to share the gospel with. We don't get to choose who God's calling. Instead, we need to love everyone as our neighbor and do what's needed for them when it's needed. That's the mission. So are we ready? Are we prepared to practice the mission? Then Jesus says, go and do likewise. So who needs your help today? Who needs your help this week? Who needs your help this month? What unique passions and gifts has God given you that just stir your heart that you can leverage for the mission? How can you begin doing what you love to do with people who don't yet know Jesus? Are you ready for an opportunity to share the hope that you have? I'm just going to close with Jesus is sending us out fishing, and I've been fishing enough to know that you don't catch fish every time. In fact, I don't catch fish hardly ever, but once in a while, it happens. You know, miracles happen. But I also know that when you don't go out on the lake and don't go fishing, you don't catch fish. But if you do, there's a good chance, eventually, you're going to catch one. I found out that the people who spend the most time out on the lake are usually the people who catch the most fish. And so that's true for us too, as fishers of men that and women and children, that every time we talk to someone, revival is not going to break out. Not much may happen, it seems. But when we continue to reach out in the love of Christ and sharing the hope that we have, some people, at some point, come to faith. And so we have to risk rejection and actually say something. When we are prepared, when we practice, people come to Jesus. Are we ready to make more mission friends? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for the call and the mission that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for the passions that you have put in our heart and the things we love to do, Lord, that we're beginning to realize that maybe you've put them there for a greater purpose than just our enjoyment. We get to enjoy them, but maybe, Lord, you want to use them so that we can enjoy them with others and be around others and influence them and share with them the love that you have for us. Lord, we do want to be good local missionaries. We do want to be part of this amazing movement that you have called your church to. And Lord, in this new world, in this new season, in this new way of living in life, Lord, we don't want to be afraid, but we want to be bold and make the most of every opportunity. So Lord, open our eyes, help us prepare, help us practice. Help us remember, Lord, that you're with us. You're with us. That you're never going to leave us. You're with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.